Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy back with you here on FM 104.3 WQAM. Get to our headlines this hour, which are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. You always pay less with your Pricito at Doral Hyundai. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or DoralHyundai.com. The Miami Hurricanes. We have their opponent, ladies and gentlemen. They will take on the Indiana Hoosiers 1 week from today. After, I mean, just a thorough ass kicking that they put. I don't even know if that's I don't even know if that's an appropriate term. I don't know if that covers what they did to Oregon.
I thought it was going to be a hell of a game when they gave up a pick six right away, and then they went down and scored. It was 7-7. I'm like, uh-oh, we got a game.
Crazy, dude. 56-22.
And it wasn't close.
That was some window dressing at the end there.
Yep.
To get it in the 20s. But they we were texting during this game, like, that's Cignetti. He is no nonsense. I mean, he is.
Well, you know who he's on the staff of.
Saban.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all are. Every one of them. That Saban's got a good college coaching tree. They've all been.
Guess whose tree Saban's on?
Belichick.
Yeah. Which is crazy, right?
Does he get to break off the tree, though, or is that he's always in the tree? Once you're in the tree,
that's where it starts. Fair enough. But he can have a college tree.
It is a college tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't call it coaching rehab for nothing.
Yeah, I don't think his – I don't know if his
– Even Mario. Does Mario go on to
– Oh, absolutely. Mario's okay. Definitely – Mario gives Nick Saban the business, like, every time he's on the air. He's the only guy I see. He makes fun of him because he brings receipts. He goes, I don't know why you went for it on fourth down there. And he goes, I literally have your notebook. That's what you said you would do. He goes, that's a good point. He's like, I didn't think that he was going to bring receipts like this. But yeah, man, this is crazy. Big spread, by the way. Big spread right now. It's gone down, though. It started, I think, 8.5. Indiana's favored, and now it's down to 7.5.
Let me explain something to you. Under no circumstances. There ain't no team in this country that can give the Hurricanes give 7 points. I'm telling you, you know how I feel about that.
Yep.
Two teams that play identical and one may be more talented at this doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you win. Because Indiana is well coached and they are where they're supposed to be all game long.
Yes.
That being said, there ain't no team in this country in college football from no conference that's 7 points better than the U.
And it didn't even open that. I was pretty. Were you surprised to see them as that much of a dog, or after the Indiana score, you weren't surprised?
No, I'm not surprised at all.
Why aren't you surprised?
Because people are looking at Indiana as unstoppable. Right
yeah,
now.
They're looking at them. They've not lost one game yet, right? I mean, they're undefeated. We've had two losses, even though we're playing very well.
But the Canes,
we've only not been an underdog in one game,
right? And I would say, Brady, you would agree. The Canes' road has been much harder than theirs, as far as the playoffs concerned. If 1,000%. You wanted to, and if you wanted to, and we like to call this in the fight community, MMA math it. I think the Canes gave the business to Ohio State more than Indiana did. If we're going common opponent, if you want to go into that route,
yeah, they did.
I feel like they did, and I don't know. I just thought Mendoza's amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. He is amazing, and I really, really, I'm gonna find it hard to dislike him this week because he is so positive. Mm-hmm. It's literally like, it's like a puppy who's the greatest quarterback ever.
Here, you ready? He needs to be twice as positive because of his Debbie Downer coach.
Oh my God!
That guy, is he ever happy? Like, genuinely?
No,
he's Nick Saban.
No, but I find it like. I don't find it endearing, and but like I used to find like that like Saban somewhat endearing in a way. He just like it seems very fake to me. Like it seems like a very
he's doing a
facade.
Thing.
Yeah, it's like just you can celebrate the fact that your team is playing well. Like, nah, it's okay.
I think
that Cristobal does a great job of it. Like, I think he does a good job of that line.
We just see Cristobal nearly suplex his own coach.
Well,
right.
Yes, but then he can go on, you know, and talk to Saban the next day and make a joke about him getting his makeup done. You know what I mean?
Like, he'll joke about that with Saban, but not Scott Van Pelt.
No, but that was like right after the win, and he's still, you know, he'll put his fist up in the air. Like, this guy just is serious at all times. It's insane to me. Your team lambasted Oregon, and you have not one smirk on your face.
I think, Brittany, you're doing the prudent thing here because he's the hateable guy because their quarterback is not.
Well, I think
and
you're
we
right.
We need to keep the task in it. We need somebody to get all in a tizzy about Leroy. Get all worked up about it, and it has to be his face because I can't hate Mendoza.
You can't hate him.
He's too nice. I want to pinch his cheeks.
I've been saying that to everybody. I'm like, I almost wish it was Oregon just because I feel like I could find something to dislike about them because I don't really care for Dan Lanning that much. And just like, you know, the crap that they talked about Mario Cristobal, like, that's fuel. But like, what does Indiana have? Like, we only have Cignetti, so I'm just going to go with him because of Mendoza. Yeah. Like, he... If the Canes weren't in this, I was rooting for Indiana.
Of course,
the whole time
they're super likable. It's who I mean this program used to be like Leroy. What was Indiana? When you played Indiana?
It would be Boston College.
Like, did you even play a full game against Indiana, or were you always done by halftime?
So the craziest thing is, every year, Indiana will start off 6-0, 5-1, and we'd have to play them. And Bo would come in and say, "This Indiana team, they're not like last year." We'd be like, "Why does he do this every year?" All right, we get it. Work hard, practice, don't take nothing for granted, but stop selling us on this Super Bowl championship. Like this, like, come on, dude. So, no, they've always been start off strong. Even maybe get ranked, and then finish the year 8-3, 7-4. That's always like what they've been. So this year, I think for me, when they beat Oregon earlier in the year,
mm-hmm.
I was like, all right.
Mendoza's coming out party was kind of his performance against the Canes, wasn't it? Like, they got up big on the Canes when he was at Cal last year.
I was like,
this Mendoza kid's like, and right. You know, obviously the Canes never offered him. We all know his story.
Or this year, when what he did against Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
what he did against Penn State, remember they were down and they had to have a last second heroics.
Oh my goodness.
That throw, like, yeah, so it's been like spots during the year. That's why the thing I couldn't figure out with Ohio State and Julian Sain is that guy's played the easiest good football that I've ever seen a college player play because he has so much talent around him, stress-free. And every time he played a viable defensive front, and that was Texas, Texas, then Indiana, and now Miami. The three teams that could get a pass rush on him, he struggled. So, like, yeah, Mendoza just seems to get it done. He gets it done. They get it done. Their coach is fun to look at because he's miserable for reasons nobody can explain.
This is going to be the battle of
you
two
know
coaches
what?
Who
I'm
will
like,
get
dude, this ain't Alabama. You're Indiana.
Cristobal was like, you know what the funny thing was with Cristobal when that whole Verbo trophy was going on was how he was trying to coach who to be on stage because he was so sick of like all the sponsors being on stage.
Right.
And all the, which is dopey, like all the, like nobody gets to go up there except for the MVPs. And it's like, can't you get it? We can't get a bigger stage. We know like how much money is being thrown into this.
How about when he say, get all these other
get
people.
These extras. These right. Get them out of here.
Yeah, he said extra people. Can we get some players up here and get rid of these extra
he's right.
people?
He's right.
But keep in mind, the Fiesta Bowl feels a little different because Verbo gives them a boatload of money.
Of course. I understand.
And so,
but nobody's there to hear those people.
Nobody's there. But guess what? Here's the other thing. Everybody's accepting that check. So when they get their cut, and it goes back to the university, so you got to kind of play ball.
Joey says, Mark Cuban went to Indiana. If you need a villain. Oh, I know. Trust me. And he's already, by the way, have you seen that? He's what? Hey, shocking. Hey, let me know if you heard this story before, Leroy. A championship game involving Miami and Mark Cuban. And he's already whining about it because of ticket prices.
He goes, little Indiana fans, how can they afford the ticket? I don't know, Mark. Why don't you buy some tickets?
Money bags? Since you got out of the game from the Dallas Mavericks so early. And, you never want to trade Luka. Why don't you just go buy some tickets then for them?
This is going to be a home game.
Yeah, dude, it's in Miami. Sorry, them's the breaks. If anybody in their right mind would have wanted to have this at Lucas Oil Stadium, then we'd have a different discussion, wouldn't we? But your city sucks, so nobody wants to.
Wait a minute.
Sorry.
So, like...
He was whining on Twitter about the prices.
Who?
Mark Cuban.
Do they also not realize that just because... like? Even Miami fans are priced out of this national championship.
I don't know who's...
this is a tax bracket that none of us are in.
Who gets to sit in this game? Are there going to be... Is royalty going to be there?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Who can afford these tickets?
If you have season tickets, you get to choose them. They will offer you tickets. But here's the kicker.
But it's only a quarter of the stadium for each team season ticket holders. Everything else is free range.
But here's the funny part about all this. My buddy, you know Mike, my buddy Dave,
mm-hmm.
he went to all the games, right?
All the Canes games.
And here's what happens. They swipe your card right after the previous game ends.
It's face value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like, yeah, you could get the tickets, but you have to get them early and you're paying for them sooner than everybody. So that's why they don't cost as much. But I would say to Mark Cuban, hey, the reason why it's hard for Indiana fans to get tickets, because they ain't think no way in hell that Indiana's going to play for the national championship. Simple as that.
Here's what he tweeted. He said, can any ticket brokers with experience selling college football playoff championship games give any comparisons or insights on how they think the price will move between now and right after kickoff? Lots of IU fans want to know. And by the way, FY, the base price of the tickets went from $350 to where they are now immediately after Miami won. It's a home game for them. So we need to know the best path of tickets for IU fans.
First of all, there's 25,000. Wait, it's 25% for each team. So that's 50%. So you figure in what, 50,000?
So how can they overtake the building and still travel? Is that what he's trying to figure out?
Huh?
So what? So he's sitting here whining because the other chunk of the tickets they can't afford.
I don't know, but are you saying you're going to get 25,000 IU fans here?
Oh. It's not even 25,000 because remember, Hard Rock is only like 60,000, 70,000.
So it's 50. So it's 30,000. So 15,000. Okay, 15,000. 50,000. Name me 15,000 Indiana fans that wanted to come here a month ago, because that's what Miami fans did. Miami fans put everything on the line beforehand. They were getting their card swiped every week. You just getting your card swiped for the finals.
Just tired of his whining. This Mark Cuban's got to whine about everything.
Leave him.
He's a whiner, dude.
You know what? You know why I'm not going to whine? I'm not going to whine because that dude is supporting Indiana.
Oh.
Bless their heart. They finally got some support. You know what I'm saying?
Take a break. Back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Somebody named Tobin Show Pony is going in on Bam on the chat. Who I think just... Well, let's see. He's got like... Hey, Tobin Show Pony, like, you're hijacking the chat, dude. Bam is going to be top five worst contracts in the NBA next year. What happened to Bam recruiting? I thought that everybody wanted to play with Bam. No one is going to want to play with Bam if he makes all the money. I don't know why any star would care.
What does money have to do with
it? I don't know why any star would care that Bam is making money as long as they get their money. That was maybe Jimmy's issue. Jimmy Butler didn't like that Bam made money and he didn't make money.
Right.
Or make the money that he thought he deserved. I think that's fair. Gives you triple singles. Definitely has for the last 4 weeks, that's for sure. Declining defense. I don't know about that. He says guards are attacking him. I saw SGA attack him. He's SGA. I also saw Bam wipe away Chet Holmgren, and then all of a sudden the Heat gave up a three because nobody could get the basketball.
Right.
He is rebound. No, look, Bam is mired in an offensive slump. How much do I want to give him the benefit of the doubt with the back thing? A little bit, because I do think that that's probably a factor. But he's also rebounding at a rate that I haven't seen him in a while either. He's just on the court.
There used to be certain things you asked Bam to do, and you could count on him to do those things.
Right.
Now he's not really asked to do one specific thing, and sometimes he just meanders.
He meanders, and then, like, he kind of got his Andrew Wiggins on in the third quarter yesterday, where, like, he gave you a flash of it for, like, two plays on Chet Holmgren, and that was it. That was the game for him.
That was it.
And the thing that the thing that people keep going is with the three ball, mm-hmm. which really hasn't even been a thing in this either, because he's not taking a lot of threes. He's not taking a lot of shots.
He's not shooting the ball.
And when he does, this is the thing that drove me nuts, and I'll never get this with him, which is a fair criticism. It has nothing to do with the injury. It's been a thing for his career. Why he always decides to settle, slow down the game, go into the post for wet fart jump hooks, I will never understand. Like, you're faster than all of these guys. You're up in front. You're ahead of steam. Like, you see, you know, these guys with that body type who can just blow past guys. And it's few and far between. He'd much rather stop, get into his pivot foot, spin away, either a fadeaway jumper or a jump hook. And when it's bad, it looks
bad.
Bad.
Yes. But I don't know, is it a lack of confidence?
Don't know.
Or he just, like, it's a weird thing, right?
I don't know. I think we ask this question with Wiggins all the time, don't we? Like, Wiggins, we're like, this guy, you'll watch Andrew Wiggins.
He'll look like the greatest player in the league.
And then it's just gone.
Right.
And it's just gone. And you're like, hey, where did that guy go? And so, yeah, I don't know. People will call it alpha. People will call it dog. I don't know. Maybe it's just because you're not a star. You can summon it not as much. You know, the guys who can are the stars of the league, and the other guys are not offensive stars in the league.
Right.
But I get it. Look, he is the max guy. He deserves as much criticism as anybody on the team because of where they're at right now. They haven't been playing good basketball. And by the way, he said this. He said this a week ago. He says, I'm letting down my team. So he knows it. I don't know. The thing I have hope for is that this is such a bad slump that he will get going and get a little bit more aggressive. But the thing is, this is what I hate about the construction of this team. And this has nothing to do with Tyler being back. It's just there's too much overlay in this starting lineup that just doesn't move smoothly, and it's not cohesive the way that it did early on in the year. And I don't know what they got to do about that. But even if Tyler Hero was – if things were going pretty good with Tyler Hero – I thought from the jump this season that one of those starters had to get traded. I just thought it made sense. Like, the way everybody was at. Now they're just at a point where they just may have to trade multiple guys. I think that's probably the prudent thing to do. Because of Bam's contract, like, what are you going to do? With a team that's of course, we, you know. Pretty much my buttons up. Now that you've just resided as the Kings of Playinville for four straight years, like, so you're going to invest $100 million into Norman Powell. You're going to maybe Andrew Wiggins opts into 30. You don't seem very interested in extending Tyler. He can't stay on the court. Like, you're telling me you guys couldn't still be the Lords of Playinville playing Kasperis Jakaciunas at the point?
All right, here's the problem. The problem is that this team has brought guys in or signed guys that they thought could be the alpha. And the only person that's really tried to be that is Powell. We thought Bam would be that. We thought Tyler would be that. And they kind of pick and choose. That's one of the problems I had with Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Picking and choosing. Like, no, if this team is paying you to be the alpha, that means that, yeah, you can have bad nights, But guess what we counting on? We counting on the fourth quarter from you. Mm-hmm. We're counting on those 20 to 25 points every night. And to compete in this league, some teams got 2-3 of those guys.
Sure.
So the fact that you don't have one, that puts you in Playinville.
Yeah. That's where you. That's where we
live. Where you say, oh, we get all other players. Everybody contributes. No.
Here in Playinville, we love maxing out veterans. Why should you play young talent in Playinville? That's how you would get out of Playinville, eventually. But if you meander with 28, 29, 30, 31, and 32-year-olds who make a good chunk of money, that's how you are kings of Playinville. Hear, hear, Timbo Slice.
We'll take a break. Leroy will hand out his game balls and game bums next.
Naps. Check it out now.
Bum, 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 bum.
This guy's a bum.
Ha ho! Leroy, watch your language. You can't be Ben Johnson, you know, telling everybody F the Packers. But it is your locker room. Gather us around and hand out your game balls and game bums from the weekend.
All right. Put your microphone on. Yeah, all right. My game ball goes to football.
Football was good.
Oh, my goodness. It started last Thursday.
Heavens to
bed. Friday, you got a little break. You could go to bed early because you know those games were late at night. Friday got some sleep. Saturday, yesterday, were amazing.
Jeez.
I mean, you had to watch all those games into the fourth quarter or till the end of the game. Pretty exciting. My game bum, and look, I hate to make it local because
do what you got
to
do.
The Miami Heat. Come on, dude.
Come on, dude.
It's terrible.
Come on.
It's terrible. Bum. It's terrible. Like, I'm scrolling through the channels. And I'm like, oh, I think the Heat are playing tonight, right? And I'm like, you know what? I'd rather watch a 6-3 football game than watch this.
Can't blame you.
And it just hasn't been good. Guys who you think should be leading the team, listen, everybody needs a captain. But at some point, even UD was captaining from the bench.
True.
Because that wasn't helping us win.
I think Bam's making like his twice of UD's career earnings though these next 3 years.
I know. And I think the annoying thing is, you know, he has it in him. Like, what in his mind is saying, don't shoot, don't do nothing? Man, I blame Spo. Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes he gets frustrated. You have to think, he's thinking, why am I guarding Chet and we have a 7-footer right there?
Good question. These are good questions.
So, I like, yeah, that's it. I didn't like, I usually like to pick, you know, other stuff, but it's just too obvious.
It's too obvious. Well, Panthers got a nice win on the weekend, so shout out to the Cats. They bounced back nicely.
Right.
Beat the Senators. They're playing Buffalo. Then they get to come home, I would assume, because they don't play till Friday in Carolina. So, that's, you know what that means. See that on the horizon?
What's that?
That's Matthew Tkachuk.
Oh yeah. Wasn't the trade deadline for basketball?
February 5th.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right.
February 5th. We are we're like 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
3 weeks away from the NBA trade deadline.
Well, a lot of this is gonna require a lot of finagling. So you might want to get into it a little bit quicker.
That's what I'm saying.
But like,
here's the thing, Leroy. You know who they got coming up this week, right? At home?
Who?
Suns. We're playing very good right now.
Yeah.
And if you want an example.
Is that surprising that they're
surprising.
That good?
Yeah, it is a little surprising that they're this impressive. And by the way, you're taking on three teams that are the argument exactly why to reset things. Because you're taking on the Suns, the Celtics, and OKC at home this week.
Right. I mean, nobody's done it better. Well,
could get ugly.
OKC had so many picks.
Agreed. I'm not, but the other two, like they've cast off valuable guys.
Right.
And they're playing pretty good basketball right now. They've kind of opened some things up instead of, you know, whatever the hell they were last year, this mishmash of Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant. Oh, my God, Kevin Durant. Whew, he's been angry. The Rockets all of a sudden are slumping. So I just think that
he's always angry.
You know, like, look.
He's basketball Nick Saban.
Could the Heat win the next two and I'm all of a sudden back to Heat in five? Hard to say. I mean, that is my
personal. No, you're not. But, because you know what? They have shown enough of this right here to know that any point in time they could go back to it. And that's the frustrating thing.
I can't.
Because you know they have it in them.
But you know how excited I would be if it was Jakachonis and Kalel lobs and Nico threes and Jaime Jaquez driving to the rim and Pella. Oh, Pella. You know? And even Myron Gardner. Throw him out there. He's a little spark plug. Who's this guy in Sioux Falls who hit 12? He was 12 for 12 from three. Mm-hmm. Trevor Keels, bring him up. Let's get crazy. I don't handle losses very maturely. Don't look at me like that, Bridget.
But here's the problem.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Has this team ever...
Hold on. She gave me the look of disgust just now. What is that?
It was a look of, you want Spo to get crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to go dip into Sioux Falls to get some guys and bring them up. Like, that's just not what you're going to get from Spo. So you can dream as much as you want, Tobin, but that's never going to happen. And that's why I had a face of despair.
He's like, we're going to, you know, I loved. He's like, yeah, we got to get mentally tougher. Mentally tougher?
Who?
Spo.
Okay. All right. Here. Bless his heart. There's nothing that you see on the court that would indicate that these guys aren't trying, aren't playing hard, or whatever. But when you watch them play, they don't look like they fit.
Right.
For whatever reason. And one of the reasons why you need that one guy, like, for no other reason other than you know where everybody eats, Powell fits. Because he has taken over and become the alpha. All right, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to go do this, but I'm going to share.
Which is great. He's a nice player. I really like Norman Powell. It was an excellent trade. An excellent trade.
But there's nobody else out there. Like, again, before the season started and as the season started, we said, wow, this might have been the best deal of the offseason.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing available.
Yes.
So, looking at the situation, looking at what you have available, right? Is this not more of a reason to play your young guys?
Yeah.
When you can't flip your young guys for nothing? Mm-hmm. So we're going to sit around and not do nothing. They're not going to get the reps. And then we're going to be faced with a situation of having to decide whether to pay all these guys at the same time in a year.
Very clearly, Tyler Hero and Norman Powell are not a fit. It's super obvious. Pick one.
I picked the healthy one.
Whatever. I don't care. Pick the healthy one. Pick the younger one. I don't care. Very clearly doesn't fit. But you should, right now, these guys, Wiggins, Norm, Tyler, Bam, look at, have a real discussion in the meeting today. All right. Order in, get some Thai food or maybe some empanadas. Gather around the whiteboard. And let's have a real discussion before you get your teeth kicked in all week about who should be here this year. You know, you're getting pretty good at drafting. You know what would be great? Drafting in the top 10. Who knows what the lottery balls are going to do? Maybe we can finally convince Adam Silver. Give us one of those fixed lotteries. He owes us one.
I just think, like, this is a question I think we have to ask is, like, do you feel like we can all sit here and say, yeah, in the small, small sample size that we have of Tyler and Powell playing together, it's a very small sample size. So that's my question. Do you think that they've had enough time to figure it out?
No, but I don't like how they I don't like how it's talked about.
You
like,
haven't seen anything that would indicate a play or a situation or anything that would indicate that it's worth putting the time in to make it work.
Can I tell you what I think, Brittany? This is what I really think. I think if you're Norman Powell, you fancied yourself a number one all these years, right? Like, he's talked about the situations he's gone to. I've always thought it was, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not against confidence. But now all of a sudden Tyler comes back and he's also taking your taking shots and putting things up. And you're like, whoa, 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 baby. Whoa. What about the Norm show? That was fun. Right? Now, by the way, he played. I want to be clear about this. He played the worst basketball game I've seen this year on Saturday night against the against the Indiana Pacers. Norman Powell was a crime against basketball on Saturday. He was terrible. And I just think they don't work. I think when I hear Norman Powell speak about playing with Tyler Hero, I hear a convincing himself tone. When I hear Tyler Hero speak about playing with Norman Powell, I hear a convincing himself tone. Not like a very eager to do it.
I maybe would feel better about this if they had, this is 30 games in.
Well, Leroy, but they've only played like six games
That's
together.
What I'm saying. Like, one way or another, I would feel a little bit more confident if it was 30 games in. It's not. It's only been like six. But therein lies the other problem in this is that Tyler's always hurt.
Right.
Well, I mean, last night Tyler played and Norm didn't. Like,
yep.
I feel like it's always a trade-off with them. It's like if one's not playing, the other one's not playing.
If Norm plays and Tyler doesn't, the team seems to have more success than if Tyler plays and Norm doesn't.
But right now, that's not necessarily the case. Right now, it doesn't matter who's in there. They're just losing.
Yeah.
It's been terrible.
It's been
It's not good for my mental health. But I'm done. I think I've given them. We're going to have the great Sean Paul just going to join us at 1 o'clock, and we're going to talk about this awesome thing that he's doing for hurricane relief and Miami Heat Caribbean Heritage Night. I don't know if I have any more Miami Heat today. And
by the way, I know firsthand what that does to a community. It's terrible. Now, I mean, I can relate because Louisiana is the poorest state in the country. And the resources weren't there. And it took forever. And in fact, a lot of people never moved back. For the Islanders, it's a little bit different because your home is your home, right? So, yeah.
We'll take a break. Come back. Got some news on the NFL coaching front as far as where searches are going. Who's getting interviews? Old friends? New friends? Miami Dolphins Solutions? We're back after this.